I don't know if you do have this under other business. The executive committee had a number of recommendations to the council. Were you taking those up under other business? Okay, then I'll certainly wait till you get to that.
One second. Chris Kellogg, would you mind coming to the table? We're going to do the terms of reference for sector, omnibus, and Phil. Yep, Phil is here. Come on down, Phil.
John, do you want me to quickly read down the terms of reference?
Please. Okay. I can't find mine, but apparently it's behind tab one in the executive committee.
Yeah, it's in the
report. And it was emailed out also last week to all council members.
I wrote it.
And the actual terms of reference are on the second page, numbers 1 to 8.
Chris, okay. I wouldn't read them. Just generally, just go through a couple highlights, and then they've had them for some time. And basically, this will be direction for the committee. And at any time during the committee reports to the council as they develop this policy, I'm sure the council can add or adjust the policy.
Okay.
The terms of reference.
Yeah, let me just briefly summarize the way they're structured. Again, they're in the executive committee materials. There's a memo from Paul to the council. It's on the second page of that. There are two types of terms of reference, general terms of reference on what the general scope of the sector amendment, and then specific issues that the sector committee might consider in looking at the guidelines for specific sectors. Basically, the general terms of reference are to develop the amendment that would enable all FMPs to allow sectors in a consistent manner. And the amendment would address common standards for sectors in all FMPs, although there would be some issues that would be handled differently in each FMP. Now, I don't want to go through the rest of the terms of reference, but perhaps if there are any questions, Phil or I can answer them.
General.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the reasons I'm really interested in this committee is Mid-Atlantic's in the process of doing exactly the same thing. It doesn't have the same title. And before Paul can press the button and say, we got budget constraints, we can't afford to have you, we don't want you, and all of that goes along with it, we hope these will be parallel. And we would probably have the committee chair of that committee of, you know, come to the meeting just to listen in and see where you're going with yours. But the question I'd have, you already have two sectors in place and you have a mechanism that allows those in that specific fishery. Would the Omnibus Amendment cover that fishery also to expand it for other species in that complex? Because they're basically species-specific sectors, are they not, the ones you have now?
Yeah, the current sectors in groundfish have allocations of Georgia's bank cod, but then they still rely on days at sea for other mortality control. This omnibus will, whatever happens, and then this omnibus will apply to groundfish, the groundfish plan, as well as all other plans.
That's the key issue, as well as all other plans. Because right, I think next week Mid-Atlantic's going to try to tag. If we get legal support for this, try to tag on Amendment 10 to Squid Mackerel Butterfish a mechanism to allow sectors to be developed in the future for Squid Mackerel Butterfish. And the reason we want to do that is just provide the mechanism. No analysis, no nothing. But it establishes that a framework can, in fact, be the mechanism down the road to have a sector. And it's not the same as your omnibus, but there is an urgency for it in a specific fishery. So if we were to do that, then we could actually mirror what you're doing if it looks like it's feasible to have an omnibus amendment for sectors and all other fisheries. But each sector, would they have to be, if you go down this road, would each sector be a framework that specifies the mechanics of that sector? Is that the potential program to be used? Okay. Thank you.
Well, to be clear, one of the terms of reference talks about or another process. Okay, just to be honest, we're gonna develop that and talk about it in the omnibus. The council will be involved in those discussions as well. When we passed Amendment 13, one of the issues that the council forwarded, but one of the issues, the same issue was rejected, was the ability of a sector to apply directly to the National Marine Fisheries Service. And that provision was rejected. So, but we're going to look at it again and see if there aren't other ways that applicants can apply for a sector other than a framework or an amendment. Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, in addition to the eight numbered items, which I gather they must address, there's a list of over a dozen bulleted items that they, as I understand this, may address, and they're not limited to just those things on that list. Is it my understanding, the hope is that those will definitely be addressed, the bulleted items? Because there's a lot of important questions in there to me that I would hope we would get answers to coming out of this.
Hey, these are staff and executive committee prepared terms of reference to direct and guide the committee to come back with a full-blown policy. You will consider these things across all sectors, no matter what plan. But some plans will have individual items, and so this is just a template to help and guide the committee to develop a policy on sectors. Now, if you see things you like or don't like, you know, you can add to it or whatever, but it's guidance for the committee to develop a more formal list. This is like a straw man.
Okay, well, that's my point. I mean, it appears to be a good straw man from where I sit. I think most of the basic questions have been asked, and, the committee may ask more questions, but I see this as a very good starting document. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I want to add to this list. And I would say, quite frankly, if they can address all these, then we'll give them permission to rest on the seventh day.
Other questions? Anyone in the audience? Okay. Jim Salisbury.
Then is it your intention that we need a motion right now to use this as the direction to the committee? I so move.
Okay. Second move. Motion's been made by Jim Salisbury to accept the terms of reference for the sector omnibus, seconded by Rip Cunningham. Discussion. John Nelson.
if we get it done sooner than a year, is that okay?
Yes. Sooner the better.
The rest of the sixth day. You really need an answer? Okay. Okay. Any other discussion or questions? Jim Roll.
Just for my information, if you don't mind, have you made the appointments to that sector committee at this time? Do you know who the membership is and so forth? It looks like we know who the staff is.
Yeah, we know
that. Oh,
yeah.
My God. All right. Never mind.
Yeah,
can I welcome Jim to attend some of our meetings, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Well, I was wondering if the MID, since the MID was going to copy everything that was done here, we ought to sell it to them.
No, we're going to improve everything that you do here.
It's getting late. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. 13. It's unanimous. Paul Howard.
Based on Executive Committee Report Number 8, I'd like to change the SOPs. Presently, the RAP reports directly to the council chair and reports its findings to the council. That's in the current policy. This new policy would say that the Recreational Advisory Panel would report to the Species Committee that needs its advice, so that if Whiting is going to develop some recreational measures, it would task the Whiting chair, Dr. Pierce, would task the AP to develop some Whiting recreational measures. Groundfish would take direction from RIP on that's number 8.
I heard a move in a second. I didn't see Tom Hill and Dave Preble. Any discussion? Anyone in the audience? Back to the council. All those in favor, please raise your hand. 10 opposed. Abstentions. Okay, motion carries. Anything else under other business from the council? Dave Gaethel.
Yeah, on the first day of the meeting, we had discussed getting a report on the VMS, and we had postponed it to other business because there was some confusion about what was occurring. I'd like to bring it up now, just request that a report on the VMS failure rate be provided.
Is there anything specific you want in the report?
Well, I want to know basically how many times are we losing the signal? What's the average time we're losing the signal? Basically, what are the limitations here as it's currently constructed? And then based on the discussions we had today, what I'd like to add to that as well is what are the future limitations? A lot of the plans that we're discussing here indicate that they plan on enhanced use of VMS. And my contention is that we can barely get the system to function as it's running right now, and people should understand what its limitations are so that perhaps they can restructure their plans that call for enhanced use of it in future management. I think a lot of the people that are contemplating groundfish plans here may wish to remove the parts that call for increased use of VMS as a monitoring tool and substitute something else in their plan so that it'll be enforceable and workable based on the comments that Pat made earlier in the day. But I really think this council needs to know how well the current system is working, because I don't think we've got a clear handle on it.
Karen, did you get all that? So I think we're going to need a motion. Generally, when you ask for, I think if you're going to ask for the agency or whomever to provide a report, they're going to want some specific things that you want them to report on.
right. Can I caucus with John Nelson for a minute so
sure.
we can get the language?
Sure. Anything else under other business? John, you're about to go into a caucus. All right.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there were various other recommendations under the executive committee, item 1, 5, 6, some of which were policy recommendations. And I would, since they're recommendations to the council, I suspect that we should have some discussion on those. Like, I won't be able to do number 1, I'm sure. Identifying a person with their full name, because I'll forget. So I think it's more of the, rather than the council and the committee chairs doing that, it's the having the person identify themselves with their full name. That's what I would recommend for that one, anyways.
Well, certainly people from the audience that you don't know, you can't identify, but I hope you know the first and last name of people on your committee, and when you recognize them on the recorder, you identify their first and last name. See, we don't have a transcription anymore that does that. Paul?
And the public, by law, is supposed to give their name and affiliation before they make a statement.
Okay. So it wasn't clear to me that that we wanted to have the various committee members state their name each time they speak, full name, name, rank, serial number.
If you call on a member of the public, then that person should, and we've got this somewhere in our notes that we did for meetings. Pat Fiorelli has it if she'd pay attention.
That might be hard. Okay, so that's the chair has been providing that type of leadership to us as he recognized Rip Cunningham each time. And Rip wondered, was there another Rip around? Well, thank you for that. What about the other points, Mr. Chairman, on 4 and 6? I was going to say you can use consensus for those, but you don't want to use consensus.
No, four is no change to the existing Roberts rule. Were you here for the executive committee report?
I was. I don't think you went
to this. Yeah, I did.
But
that's okay.
Correct. Well, okay. The point I'm making is that I don't think we voted on anything like that. It was just a recommendation to the council, and therefore a recommendation to the council probably should be voted on.
The only direction we got on roll call votes was from someone that says, look into roll call votes. It was no specific direction. And we discussed them and said, the current policy in Roberts seems like a good one. Now, if the council doesn't want to follow it, I'm sure you could, that's what John's saying. If you want to make a motion to change that, I suppose you could.
I'm getting a little punchy.
Well, seeing no objections to any of these, I guess by consensus you're adopting them. Right.
Careful, John.
No, but we haven't adopted. We haven't changed anything.
Yeah.
I'm setting up.
You're in caucus. Anything else from the council? Anyone in the audience have anything under other business? Vito?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Vito Gigoloni, Northeast Seafood Coalition. Just wanted to bring up in November, a few folks had brought to the council's attention about the leasing cap and the limitation that it's put on folks in the 2-to-1 area. It sounded like I was actually not at the meeting at that time. I had left just prior to it. But a bunch of folks have asked about that. I think there was some indication people thought that maybe something could be done about that. So I promised that I would bring it up at the next council meeting. There's a mathematical limitation that on the leasing that you can, you're capped at your 2001 allocation. So if someone with a full 88-day permit brought in an additional 88 days, at 2-1, they would effectively only have 68 days to fish. So there are a lot of folks that have indebted themselves with two additional permits and can't use the full two additional permits. So they ended up with 68 working days, which is below the break-even from, you know, any full-time vessels, 3 to 5 men. A lot of guys are looking to lease additional days and unable to do that. So that mathematical limitation, we're hoping there was something that that could have been done or if it was overlooked. We did comment extensively on it, so it is in the, you know, the administrative record. We did mention that mathematical cap.
Could you remind me, in your comments, do you suggest a remedy other than just lifting the cap altogether?
Basically, if I remember right, I think we may have hinted at something for the folks that were fishing in the 2-1 area, if there was something that could be done to relieve the cap so that they had at least enough effective days potentially to seek out to be solvent.
Okay.
I don't think the I'm not certain, but I don't think the Framework 42 analyses contemplated the cap. I think it assumed that vessels could mitigate through leasing. And we missed that mathematical cap.
Okay. Phil? You're all set.
Yeah.
Jim or Mike, take your pick.
I understand the problem. I don't have a solution. I was wondering if Pat or Doug have any... anything we could probably do to fix this? Any ideas?
The cap is codified. So unless I misunderstood, I thought we did say exactly that when we had this discussion at the November council meeting. This, you know, you can consider changing it in the next action, but the cap is the cap right now.
That's basically, John, what I was seeking was some definitive answer so that I could bring that back to the folks that keep asking. I wasn't able to understand how it could be corrected either, but we wanted to find out definitively where we stood with that so that we could stop having people on false hope.
Okay, thanks, Peter.
All right, thank you.
Anything else? Joe?
Joe Lander, Gloucester Fisherman. Just a comment, Mr. Chairman. I couldn't help but look at this TAC summary report for the 5 months. And Gulf of Maine cod, the way we started fishing here, 1.4-1. Even Cape Cod Yellowtail. Maybe it's just me, but I don't see how we're going to reach it. And we started the year with 1.4-1, which is probably good. Okay, but I'm just trying to make a point. Next year, the TACs are going to double. We're going to start the fishing year with 2-1 instead of 1.4. The people that are fishing this year, some of them ain't going to be fishing next year. I know four of my fellow fishermen that I fished alongside 30 years, they just put everything up for sale because they got no days left. It's not a question. What I'm saying is next year, we're not even going to get close to these TACs, I don't think. I see what happens out there, how we're fishing. Even myself, I cut way back. So it seems to me that these friends of mine leaving the fishery, maybe for no reason, when you see the numbers next year. So I'm just making a comment, just see how you guys feel about it. I don't know, maybe it's just me. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Anyone else in the audience? Back to the council. Anything else under other business? Oh, that's right. Your caucus has ended. Go in peace. Okay, Dave, we're all set. Seconded by John Nelson. Okay, we have the motion on the board with respect to the report on VMS. Any questions on the motion? Dr. Pierce.
Yes, would the maker of the motion please clarify what's meant by the last part of that motion? What limitations may exist with increased use of VMS to provide future monitoring information? I'm not sure what that means.
What it means is that this system may be running up against walls that we don't understand. You know, you can only have so much time on the satellite, as an example. I don't know what they could be, but a lot of the plans that we move forward today call for increased use of VMS to provide information in order to monitor the programs. And if those are impossible, I'd like to know it now so that these people can be given direction to come up with another means of satisfying their information requirement.
Just a point of clarification. Who are we asking for this report from?
The National Marine Fisheries Service.
I would recommend it specified.
Okay.
Anyone else in the council? Phil?
I'm not really opposed to this, but I would wonder if it would be beneficial if we actually we had a presentation by the VMS people the other day at the Enforcement Committee, and I almost wondered if it wouldn't be advantageous for the council to see it, to get an idea, or get a wrap around what can and can't be done as we're going into that.
Did that presentation address a lot of these questions? No.
I'd say it raised all of these questions.
Okay. Well, maybe a report and a presentation. Well, Mike Leary.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know if this report should first go to the VMS Enforcement Committee and then to the council or not. I mean, I think this is something that should be done, not quarterly, but annually.
That's a good point. John?
Well, why don't we give the service the opportunity to provide this first report and take a look at it and then make an evaluation of whether or not we need to get it on some time periodicity after that.
Okay, thanks. Maggie?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. I can appreciate that there have been a lot of problems with the VMS system recently. There were a lot of new participants added to it in a short amount of time, and I think it was explained at the Enforcement Committee that there was a change in their software at the same time, and so it sort of can be expected that there would be problems when those, you know, that kind of number of people are added and you're changing the software. So I just want people to think about the impact that asking the same people who we rely on, which is a very few number of people work in the VMS office, we ask them all the time to provide us information on a timely basis about our days at sea usage, and now we're going to ask those same people to provide some kind of report. And I just want you to think about the impact of that and how that's going to affect. They're going to be working on that report. They're not going to be able to work on our request to say, how many days at sea do I have left? Just there's like three people that work down there. I just think about that when you're asking for that to happen, because we do need to have those people to answer the questions on a timely basis as quickly as they can. Thanks.
Thanks, Maggie. Dave?
Yeah, just while we're on the subject, we use days at sea currently. This VMS unit is absolutely useless the way it's been functioning to this point to count those days at sea. There's no way to tell. We're not getting enough information back and forth or whatever's going on. I mean, I think there's a priority there. I'm managed by days at sea. I'm responsible to count them, but as a Framework 42's implementation, I have absolutely no humanly way possible to accurately track my days at sea usage. Now, even as simple as, you know, people say, go ahead, you know, write down the time you cross the demarcation line. Well, that's great, but there's always a few hour difference either way. And for, you know, a trip boat that does a 7-day trip per week, that's great. An hour or two on each side of the line doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But, you know, on a day boat, you do 5 to 7 trips a week, you lose 5 to 7 or 6 hours different than what you wrote down in your logbook, and then multiply that times 2 over the course of a month, you've got absolutely no idea how many days at sea you've used. And, I mean, this was implemented. This was, you know, hey, you know my opinion. I never wanted it. It was forced down our throat. But why the heck can't we even count days at sea? I think that needs to be a priority. Let's see if we can at least get it to do that, please. Thanks.
Anyone else in the audience? Okay, back to the council. Anything further from the council? I'm just wondering out loud if in this report, if you would want to have these answers or these questions answered based on unit or vendor to see if there's any difference between the, I think we have 3 units now that we allow in the region, SkyMate, Boat Tracks, and Tronatron. Just throw that out there. Otherwise, you may just get aggregate numbers and assume that every system operates poorly. David?
That would be extremely helpful if it's possible. I just didn't want to burden people too much. If that can be provided and we can, yes, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, perhaps at the bottom of the motion then you'd put, if possible, break out the information by vendor, if that's acceptable to the seconder. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed? 13. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries 13 in favor, 0 against, 1 abstention. Anything else under other business? Happy birthday, Juanita. Okay, we're adjourned.